This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. You get home from work tonight, dinner with the fam, sitting around the house, little family time, maybe a book, little TV. Bedtime, everybody crashes out. You've been in bed for a couple hours and you wake up to loud, loud sirens where everybody now knows what to do. The whole family throws on their clothes quickly because everyone had their clothes sitting beside the bed already. You meet in the living room, race to the front door. Out the front door you go, and you start walking as quickly as humanly possible towards the air raid shelter. Kids are crying. Ladies are screaming. Dogs are barking. All your neighbors are out in the street heading the same direction you're heading. You end up underground in a shelter, and you have to sit there as massive explosions go off all around you for 2 hours. Lights sometimes going out completely. Kids holding on to you, scared. I want you to imagine that night after night after night in your neighborhood, your daily existence. We are blessed beyond belief to live here in America. For a million and one different reasons, we are blessed beyond belief to live in America. One of the big ones for me is that war like that has rarely come to our shores, unless you're going to count the Civil War. It's rarely come to our shores. Revolution, of course, War of 1812, but I'm talking about air raid bombs. Louder than you can imagine. Having been in their presence before, on the ground when they go off and you're relative vicinity, it takes your breath away. And I don't mean you're shocked. I mean, the concussion is all, They are so powerful. It's a new kind of feeling, and we haven't had to do that kind of thing. The Battle of Britain is such an underrated, undertold story of World War II. What happened there? Why it turned out the way it did? Fascinating, fascinating story. Let's do a quick backtrack here. We don't have to background this that much. Certainly not for my audience, Chris. I think my audience is probably pretty boned up on a lot of this stuff, but let's do a little one for people who aren't. Post-World War I, entire world blames the whole thing on Germany, which is grossly unfair. Put these huge reparation payments on them, at the same time taking away some of the most valuable parts of their economy, can't build a military. We wipe Germany out, virtually guaranteeing a war again. That's what we did. It was the stupidest thing. People were so mad and so hurt and so mortified by the loss of life in World War I, they had to blame someone. They blamed it all on Germany and crushed those people. But Germans are a proud people. And remember this. People will find somebody to protect them, and that person is not always a good person. If the good people refuse to do so, they will find a bad person. They will seek out protection before they seek out righteousness. If I'm in a room with 9 angels and a devil, and the devil's the only one who promises not to let any harm to me, human nature says that's the one you're picking to lead you. Remember that. And a devil came up, with everybody else laying down, whimpering, not sure which direction to go. Along comes this wildly charismatic World War I veteran, wounded in battle, got mustard gas, so he had that gravelly voice screaming at everybody about the greatness of Germany and the greatness of Germans. And yeah, he said a lot of stuff about hating Jews, but let's not major on the minor. He loves Germany, right? I love Germany. Don't you love Germany? And that's how it happens. If the good people don't step up, a monster does. Hitler takes over. You know the tale. Goes rolling into Austria, so on and so forth. Everybody can see what Hitler has done, built up this massive army he's not even allowed to have. He's starting to gobble up territory. Britain and France, understandably, are extremely scarred from World War I. This is something that's always driven me crazy about how we look at things in hindsight and how we look at France and Britain appeasing Hitler. And I'm no Neville Chamberlain fan. He failed to acknowledge what he was facing, failed to address it in time. But that's really easy for you and I to say when we look at 6 freaking million dead Jews. I don't know how many dead Russians. We know all that now. What Neville Chamberlain knew, what France knew in their time was this. The leaders of those countries were very, very, very much alive and personally witnessed their countrymen dying by the hundreds of thousands. You as an American have never known carnage like that. And let me be clear, again, remember this about World War I. The world, in the history of the world, there had never been death totals like that in a war, ever. It was the massive technological advancement of weaponry. These countries are shell-shocked for decades. And remember, I've told you about this before. There were these policies in certain areas where every young man from a little town would join and they'd keep them together all through boot camp and then off to the same unit. Well, remember, it's World War I. You send that entire platoon over the top, and that entire platoon gets mowed down with a machine gun. Every mother in a young town in a given day gets the same letter saying, baby boy ain't coming home anymore. That kind of shared anguish amongst your people is not easy to get over. Not by a long shot. So we're awfully hard on Britain and France because it's fun to make fun of France and it's fun to blame it all on Neville Chamberlain. And I'm not defending the guy. I'm just saying, remember history. What do we talk about? It's complicated. Neville Chamberlain didn't see 6 million dead Jews. Neville Chamberlain came off carnage like Britain had never seen, almost ended them as a nation. Did not want round two. Certainly did not want round two with the same country, Germany, who took on everybody and dang near won in World War I. So it was hold up, slow down, Hitler says, screw you, screw you. Finally, they draw a line in the sand and they say, you cross over into Poland. That's it. Hang on. I love saving money. Everybody knows that. I'm not obsessed with it. I'm not as obsessed with it as producer Chris is, that's for sure. But I love saving money. However, I still need the quality. So I'll be honest with you. When I found out Raycon was offering these great wireless earbuds and they cost about half of the other top brands, I thought to myself, oh, come on. They're not going to be any good. But I got my pair of Raycons. Not only do they sound amazing, they're half the price, and you can hardly see them. There aren't all these dangling wires. They're not these big, ugly things. They just fit really, really nicely in your ear. It took me about 5 seconds to pair the things. I cannot speak highly enough about these. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. You get 15% off your order if you go there.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Hitler goes storming into Poland. Poor Poland. We're going to have to do a show or two on Poland because, man, did they get the daggone shaft in World War II. Remember, not only did Hitler go storming into Poland, he flat out cuts a deal with Stalin to split Poland. And Poland gets spit roasted, invaded by in both ends, and just occupied and ripped apart, and some of the horrific things done to the Polish people by the Germans, then the Russians, then the Germans, then the Russians. And remember, those concentration camps? They were in Poland. I mean, there was more than just that, obviously, but they were in Poland, man. The big ones you know about. The Polish people took a beating. Probably why you see such a hardcore nationalist bend in Poland today. Of all the European nations, Poland's the one not playing games. Remember when every other European country was accepting these waves of migrants from Syria? And of course, crime was shooting through the roof, rape, murder, terrorist attacks in all these countries. And Poland wouldn't take any? And Poland's crime stayed at zero, and everything stayed at zero, and and the European Union kept threatening Poland. You better start taking these, and Poland's all, no, we're good over here. I'm fine. Let me know how that works out. Our Christmas markets aren't getting blown up over here. Y'all have a good time. Remember, that's a lot of that stemmed from this. So Britain, you know, France, they do follow up on the it's war now thing with Germany, but they didn't do anything about it. In their defense, they weren't necessarily ready. Britain certainly wasn't ready to do anything about it, but it was a lot of, oh, it's on now. At some point, it's not as if they came swooping in to help the Poles. Germany finishes with Poland. They hunker down, and as we elaborated at length, I won't go over it again, in the Battle of France, Hitler starts looking at France. Hitler wants to take France. France was not weak at this point. That is one of the biggest historical inaccuracies out there. France's army was stronger than Germany's. In some cases, significantly stronger than Germany's at this point in time. In numbers, in quality of equipment, and everything. Hitler was advised over and over again by his people, no, we're not invading France. No, we can't invade France. Invade France? It's suicidal. One of them actually wrote in his diary, said this is suicide. Hitler ignored them, said come up with a plan. They came up with a plan. They stormed through France, and France may have had the equipment, may have had the manpower, but they had broken, mentally broken leadership at the top. Again, remember that World War I stuff. So weak, so scared, so indecisive. And you thought World War I was hard on Britain. Again, remember this. France, picture this number. With world populations, half of what we have now, France lost over 1 million men dead in World War I. That's almost the grand total of every American killed in every war in the history of the United States of America. Over a four-year period, France lost over 1 million. Do you know what percentage of their population that was? Forget just the dead ones. Remember, you're going to have multiple wounded for every dead. How many are walking around France at this exact moment, older men now, without a leg or legs, without an arm, wheelchair bound, mangled face? You've seen war wounds. Lots of them. And remember that air raid from the beginning. This battle, World War I for the most part on the Western Front, did not take place in Germany. World War I took place in France. Not only did it tear their young men to bits, it tore their country to bits. To bits. There are parts of France, did you know there are parts of France to this day that are blocked off? You cannot go there because they fired off so many artillery shells in a given area. And they wouldn't explode. And to this day, if you kick them or run into them, they can explode and kill you. There's still efforts going on as we speak to clear out the stuff from over 100 years ago. France breaks. 6 weeks, everybody knows it. France falls. And here's where it's going to lead us to our story today. Dunkirk. A lot of people know the vague story. This is not going to be about Dunkirk. Just know this. Britain sends hundreds of thousands of British troops down to France to help defend France during the Battle of France. They all get their butts whipped badly. The British troops and their equipment, they manage to get clear up to the English Channel. The Germans are coming. There's about 400,000 Brits there, which, again, remember, Britain does not keep a large ground force, especially during relative peacetime. This is their army. Germany, for some reason, hesitates, and these guys get evacuated in Dunkirk. Now, here's the problem. Yeah, they got their men off and back to England. They did not, however, because lots of them were taking civilian boats. Some of them are taking rowboats across the English Channel. You know what doesn't fit well on a rowboat? A tank. Their equipment stayed behind. Britain is not the United States of America, certainly not at this time where we were churning and burning. Britain can't just snap its fingers and churn out a whole bunch of new tanks and equipment. We are gathering things up to send them stuff, but that stuff doesn't just appear overnight. It wouldn't appear overnight today, and it certainly didn't appear overnight in those times. Now Hitler feeling pretty good about himself, right? Wouldn't you be? You were told this was suicide. You were told don't do it. They storm through and capture France in 6 weeks, and now Europe belongs to Germany. It's easy for us, because we have all known the story of World War II for so long, to just dismiss that. Think what a big deal that is to wake up one day. Just yesterday, you were down and out. Your economy's toast. Your people are miserable. Your currency is completely flatlined. Your life sucks. Then you wake up and you are in control of Europe. Like, all of it. Which means Hitler then turns its eyes on Britain. Now, this part of the story, I'm going to just very briefly say I find strange. I've never really looked into it. I probably will. But Hitler was all about racial theories. That's not exactly news. Granted, that wasn't exactly new for the time. You know, Winston Churchill may have some what we would view as today as ugly racial theories. He also didn't want to exterminate everybody of a certain race. So clearly Hitler took things to extreme. But Hitler was way obsessed with this stuff, like oddly obsessed. And he had some kind of Anglo-American thing where he thought they were kind of part of the German-Aryan superior race. The race stuff gets really weird to me, just because I don't find it to be that fascinating. I don't find it to be that important, but Hitler felt a kinship with Britain. Hitler wanted Britain half the time to just aid them or step aside. No, we're all whites, right? We're whites. Don't you hate Jews? We hate Jews. Hang on. I want you to picture this. Imagine this. You go to work today. Not difficult to imagine. You wake up, put on your work boots, your penny loafers, whatever you wear. You go to work today. You work all day long. At the end of that day, you come home and find out 70, 80% of the day you didn't get credit for. It was taken from you. How would you feel about that? Now do that for decades and have your life's work wiped out. That's what happens when you have your money in an IRA or 401k in stocks and bonds and the market crashes. Get a precious metals IRA now. Roll over your existing one into it. Use Birch Gold to do it, because they can do it safely and smartly. Go to birchgold.com/Jesse. That's birchgold.com/Jesse. Hitler expects England, especially because England had signaled a lot of weakness under Chamberlain, Hitler at this point in time expects England to simply give in, to sue for peace. And he wasn't even going to ask for that much. He really wasn't. If you look at their peace terms, He wanted Winston Churchill to step down, because Churchill had been rubbing it in Hitler's face since he got there. That was part of it. He wanted Churchill to step down. You know, maybe help out a little here, help out a little there. But it's not as if the deal Germany offered Britain on paper was that bad for England. Well, yeah, you do you. I mean, we're going to want some things, but you do you. It ain't no big deal. We're not trying to make you a vassal state here. Not really. And Winston Churchill's all, no, I'm good. Actually, I'm okay. Now it's on. And this is a delicate process for Germany because they don't know quite how to wrap their minds around what they have to do here. Now, don't get me wrong. They're way confident, way overconfident. They think now, oh, we are a dominant military force, which they were pretty dominant. But you have to wrap your mind, if you're Germany, around how you're crossing this channel with your planes, with your boats, with your army. Because whatever the case was at Dunkirk and whatnot, you still have to tangle with the finest navy in the world, the Royal Navy, which now stands firmly between you and Britain's coast. What do you do? Well, combined arms is what you do, which is not a new concept. There's always been, you know, you have your archers, you have your cavalry, you have your infantry back in the old days. World War I, you had your artillery, and then you had this, and you had that, you know. But when it comes to air power, it's easy for you and I to forget how new this concept was. They had planes they used in World War I, reconnaissance planes, some fighting. But remember, planes had just been invented. Like right before it. Planes that went up in the air like that. The first guy, you know what the first air combat was in World War I? It was some crazy Russian rams his plane into another German plane and kills both of them. That was the combat. I don't even know what the plan was there. But that's, you want to talk about the basics? Oh, there he is. I think I'll just fly into him and see how it works. That was really the air combat we had seen up to this point in time. World War I, some World War I stuff. They obviously started adding machine guns and a gunner and things like that, but we're talking biplanes. You know, the two, one set of wings on top, one on the bottom, slow. These planes move like 140, 150 miles an hour. So airplane technology had been advancing, but it's not as if there'd been large-scale air wars between then and World War II. That was when we were going to figure out how to do this. Now Germany had what was called the German Luftwaffe, with Goering in charge of it. He was one of Hitler's big, big, big-time generals, a hero from World War I, pilot. He thought his Luftwaffe was superior to the British RAF, and in all fairness, it might have been. It really might have been. They were pretty equal as far as numbers go. Germany, without question at this point in time, had the superior fighter pilots because they'd been doing a lot more fighting. Britain wasn't, they weren't, their fighter pilots weren't fighting. Now, they had a plan. Germany's plan was this. Well, we are going to bomb and strafe the RAF airports in Britain. The best way to shoot down another guy's plane is before it takes off. That's just the bottom line. It's really a lot easier to get them when they're not shooting back. So they would do these air raids on Britain. Britain would sometimes know they're coming, sometimes not know they're coming. Now, how do they know they're coming? Well, this is the first use of what you and I would know as radar. I'm by no means a radar expert. We've all seen the movies where the guy's looking at the green circular computer screen and you're seeing these little blips on there and you're like, oh, that's radar. Just know this is radar's very, very beginning, and what it is a plane sends a shortwave radio signal to the ground as it flies, and they had figured out how to capture that signal so they could locate a plane, kind of. When I say kind of, I mean this is the early stages. They would spot a plane that this plane is at 5,000 meters, And they go out there and the plane's at 10,000 meters. They're working this thing out as we go along here. And oh, by the way, I'm tapping my watch. Could you figure it out really fast? Because Britain's about to end if you don't. And the Luftwaffe strategy of slaughtering the RAF airfields is working. It's working really, really well until a fateful accident. Hitler believed, I mean, you know, you don't like to picture Hitler as some humanitarian, but Hitler did not want civilians bombed in Britain. He did not want it. Had given strict orders that it not happen. But remember, this is not the era that we're in now where you can, this is not an exaggeration, you can fire a cruise missile from further away than you can possibly imagine and land it in a coffee can. That's how accurate things are now. That is not the era we are dealing with here. We are dealing with a tiny little scope out the bottom of a plane. You release bombs, wind, you just a million and one factors. Inaccurate doesn't even describe how bombing was back then. That's why you had to carpet bomb everything. You had to bomb 1,000 acres to get the one you were actually trying to hit. And something went wrong. By all accounts, even though there are a million and one conspiracy theories about this, you may have one. You're welcome to email it to me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. By all accounts, this was an accident. This was not on purpose. Something went awry. London got a couple bombs on it. Churchill understandably loses his freaking mind. Imagine how it would change your perspective on things if we were being invaded or attempted to be invaded. And they're bombing the local military base of yours. You wouldn't be happy, obviously. You'd be angry. You'd be cheering for your guys. But that's, I mean, also kind of life. That's life. Now you wake up one morning and find out they bombed a daycare center in your town. Does that change things? Oh, you bet it changes things. Churchill loses his mind, bombs Berlin in retaliation. Now Hitler loses his mind, and London begins to burn as the Luftwaffe begins bombing raids day and night. And you can go Google image search this. While we take a quick break here, look at those pictures of London. Unbelievable. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Home title theft is not something you probably think about a lot. And I have to be honest with you. I hope you just go get home title lock and never think about it again. Because if you don't, and they get you, if they get their eyes on your home title, they're going to get you, by the way. These guys are too good. If you don't get home title lock and they get you, you are going to be extremely angry with yourself and it might financially ruin you. It's that serious. The FBI is desperate trying to put a stop to this. Your home title, it's not a piece of paper anymore. It's digital. It's online. They can get their hands on it. They can and will get a real looking signature of yours on it, take out a loan against it, and you start getting late notices on the gigantic loan you have to pay back. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Start protecting yourself. Don't forget to use the code Jesse and get yourself 30 days free protection. London is on fire. Germany's dropping incendiary bombs on it. And it's easy for us to forget now, but they were considering, parts of London, parts of Britain were considering giving in. This was a near-run thing, very much so. The U.S. ambassador to Britain, Joe Kennedy, yes, that Joe Kennedy, the father of John F. Kennedy, Joe Kennedy was U.S. ambassador to Britain. He flat out said, y'all should give up. This is not going well. You need to give up. And it's not as if he was alone. Churchill was having to wrangle people in his own government. What do you mean give up? What? Parts of Britain, parts of the British leadership, they wanted to pull the fighter planes back and flat out give the Germans a toehold in the south. Things were bad, man. Really, really, really bad. But Britain did have some excellent fighter planes. They had some excellent fighter pilots. And Germany screwed itself up. You see, the German strategy of bombing the RAF airports was working fine. Then, as he did so many times, that idiot Hitler has them divert and start bombing London because he's mad. Well, now you've opened your bombers up to those British fighter planes, destroying them. And the German bombers, they always come with an escort. It's not like in the movies where the bombers just sitting there. They come with a fighter escort to fight off the fighter planes. And the Brits won some of those air battles, and the Germans won some of those air battles. But here's the thing people forget. And people forget this a lot. And a lot of people make the argument, this is what won the Battle of Britain. Remember this. Where the battle takes place matters a lot. Choose your battlefield. Do not let him choose the battlefield. And where your battle takes place, as in fighting on my homeland, is so much different than me going and fighting on your homeland. What do I mean by that? Well, picture this. There aren't missiles in this time. These planes are all, the German and British ones, are outfitted with machine guns. Meaning, when you shoot a plane down, yes, sometimes it would disintegrate in the sky. Sometimes these heavy, heavy machine guns would obliterate the pilot because you hit the cockpit. But oftentimes that plane is going down, but the pilot is just fine because the plane is not exploded. And they are taught, obviously, to bail out of that thing and pull your parachute. Now, let's say we have 100 British planes fighting 100 German planes. And the Germans win some and the Brits win some. But those German pilots who fall out of the planes, where are they falling? They're falling in Britain, where they will be promptly arrested and sent to a POW camp. What are the British pilots doing? They're landing softly on the ground, where they're quickly picked up by a local farmer, fed a nice meal, and driven right back to base to get in another plane again. Those wonderful German fighter pilots, you're still going to lose some. And when you lose them, they're gone forever. The Brits, not so much. In Germany, they were dealing with the British radar. They were dealing with the fact that Germany could not replace those pilots. And they were dealing with the fact that Hitler, you know, there's a give and take to everything. There's a good and bad to everything. You have all of Europe. That's really nice, right? It's a lot better than being broken down and out. But now you also have to defend all of Europe. He can't put all of his forces into attacking Britain. Hitler has a lot of territory to defend at this point in time. Plus, Winston Churchill, one of my favorite historical characters out there, was the man made for this era, built for this time. His entire life, he said, up to the, had led to this moment. He knew it. Some people are built for it. You know how war stresses people out, as it should oftentimes? You know, I mean, you don't want it to be pleasant. Friends of Winston Churchill said he aged in reverse during World War II. He was having the time of his life. That's so great. This is built for it. That's where he gives up, never give up. That's where he gives the never surrender stuff. We're not giving up. Screw you, Hitler. And there is this one-month battle. Brits going up against their bombers and fighter pilots, them winning some, Germans losing some. And finally, well, there are some lessons to be learned. Hang on. Slept like a baby again last night. And why did I sleep like a baby last night? Because I have an ebb sleep. Ebb sleep is not drugs. It's not sleeping pills. And I understand you maybe take sleeping pills. I'm not judging you, man. I've been there. But I also know what that results in. You pop the sleeping pills. You sleep for 19 straight hours. You wake up. You still don't feel that refreshed. What if you could just get a wearable device that just targets those racing thoughts going through your head, calming your mind down, putting you asleep faster, and this may be the best part, keeping you asleep? That's what Ebb Sleep can do for you. And you can try it risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Don't forget to use the promo code Jesse at checkout. Get $25 off. tryebb.com/Jesse. Couple big things, big lessons. Leadership is so critical. It's not even disputable. England loses. England surrenders to Adolf Hitler without Winston Churchill's leadership. They do. They surrender. Picture the world as you know it if Britain fell then, and Germany can turn around and focus absolutely everything on Russia, where they probably win. How does the world change if Winston Churchill, one man, does not stand up and say, no, 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 no. Britain doesn't surrender. Bring it all. We'll fight everywhere. You're never taking us down. If that's someone other than Winston Churchill, there's a chance the Nazis are in Washington, D.C. as we speak. You ever think about that? That's true. That's true. And there's one other gigantic thing you probably haven't thought of we need to take from this battle. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Britain wins the Battle of Britain. Why did they win the Battle of Britain? I mean, relatively evenly matched, right? Well, you need to remember this. It wasn't all the RAF. It wasn't everyone in Britain. That's how we like to look at it now. Remember, half the political class wanted to capitulate. There's this great quote from Heraclitus. It's old. I think it's from ancient Greece. I'm going to read you before I read you some stats. This quote is this. Quote, out of every 100 men, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we are lucky to have them, for they make the battle. Ah, but the one. One is a warrior, and he will bring the others back. End quote. Do you know, in the Battle of Britain, RAF shot down roughly 2,600 planes? Guess how many of the over 2,300 pilots on the Allied side, I call it Allied because there were a few pilots from other countries that came, but most obviously were British. Guess how many of the fighter pilots actually shot someone down? Less than 40%. Do you know how many pilots claim more than one kill? They shot down more than one plane. Do you know how many? 15%. 15%. So most of them, the majority, shot down one. A little less than half didn't shoot down any. And yet, here are some numbers from the top shooters. 21, 19, 18, 17, 15, 15, 14, 14, 14. If you're like I've been recently, and you've been extremely, extremely frustrated with the Republican Party, with these idiot senators we have, Mitt Romney's out there marching with Black Lives Matter. What a moron. We have these useless senators like our own here in Texas, John Cornyn, Ron Johnson, that loser Lankford talking about, well, I mean, we should change the Confederate military bases. Just absolutely giving in to the mob. I mean, I don't care if we have that discussion. We're not having it right now. Are you out of your mind? That's like your child throwing a fit in the grocery store, throwing themselves on the floor because they want a big bag of chips, and you coming back and just offering them a little bag of chips. Did you discourage or encourage that behavior? That's what our losers do. And I've been going crazy about it, and you've heard me yelling behind the microphone. But I had a moment of clarity about it. It's just up to a few of us to do most of the heavy lifting, and that's always how it is. Everybody gets lumped together as the victor. Britain won the Battle of Britain. Well, no, they didn't. Half the leaders were practically on the other side. Half the pilots didn't kill anybody. It was 10, 15% of the RAF pilots won the Battle of Britain. You and I get frustrated because we feel like we are in the minority. I know. I'm right there with you. Nobody's listening. These people are insane. How can you not see what's happening? The leftists are dominating us. They're tearing down our history. This Black Lives Matter crappy movement has become a black supremacist movement that is killing people, ruining lives, ruining businesses. It's terrible. This is terrible. And we want to take our own side and we just want to strangle them and say, wake up. What's wrong with you, man? How can you not see? But here's the truth. It's always been like this. There are people like you and I who have to do all the daggone work and drag the useless weaklings along. And then in the end, everybody will get the credit, and that's fine. But that's not unique for our situation. We're a tiny minority of, you know, of people on our side are actually having to do all the fighting. That's the norm. You remember during the American Revolution, we talked about this before. Do you know how many people, the percentage of America who wanted to revolt, who wanted to start our own country? 1/3. We look back on it and we think, every American. They were listening to Toby Keith and waving an American flag and said, screw you, Britain. That's not true. 1/3, the same percentage, were loyal to the British. Britain had whole units of Americans fighting for them. And the other third, in case you're wondering about them, didn't care at all. Maybe those people are the worst. Can you imagine not caring at all? What do you mean you don't care? But again, that's life. And we look back and we give all of them the credit, right? Ah, good for you, America. America did it. America did it. It was the 13 colonies. They did it. Good job, America. Good job. It wasn't America. It was a small percentage of America who were the ones who had to do all the fighting. That's how it is. That's how it is. So in these moments where you and I tend to get either a little down or a little worn out about it. I'll tell you, man, I've had my moments. I was telling Chris about this. I have these congressmen, you know, they call me or they text me. And they ask me what they should do. Hey, how do you think, what do you think I should say here? Hey, they want me to vote for this bill. I don't know if I can. What should I do? Why are you asking me? I'm on the radio. You're the congressman. I have a radio and TV show. You don't need to be asking me. And I was yelling at the wife about this, not yelling at her, but I was yelling about this to the wife. And she said, you're how they get their strength. That's life. And she's right. That sucks. I want to come here and I want to talk about the greatness of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. That's what I want to talk about. And we're going to talk about that actually today, but that's another matter. But we don't always get what we want, do we? That's life. Why are there so few of us willing to speak the truth about the problems in the urban black communities, the poor black communities? I mean, what percentage of Americans do you think really believe the cops are the problem in the urban black communities? Even if you're all about some police reforms, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. What percentage of Americans actually look at these neighborhoods and say, oh, it's the cops? What, 5% actually believe that idiocy? Maybe 10? And yet, the entire country goes along with that? Hang on.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was give me a Kettle One martini, 3 olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down. But you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.